This is CliffCentral.com.
Masculinity is a wonderful gift to humanity. No man is born a misogynist or abuser. So what sometimes goes wrong on the journey from boy to man? Hi, I'm Craig Wilkinson, sitting with Khalil Osiris in the studio, and welcome to the third episode in the series Man to Man Talks. Carling Black Label is a proud sponsor of Man to Man Talks. Join us in standing up and saying no to woman abuse, because enough is enough. Champions take action. Last time we talked about the drivers of a man's heart, what's on every boy's heart. And we talked about it's the desire for a battle to fight, the desire for an adventure to live, and the desire for a beauty to pursue and rescue. And Khalil, great to be back with you again in the studio.
Stunning. It's an absolute honor. I couldn't think of anything that I'd rather be doing more than having this conversation right now, particularly during this time where in America, the hashtag Me Too movement and the hashtag Time's Up movements are really taking the country by storm. Right. Stormy Daniels.
Right.
I mean, there's no one that's not been touched in America by this movement.
It's a firestorm.
It's without a doubt, and rightfully so. I mean, this is the time. So, for us to be talking as men, and to have this program, Man to Man Talks, and the invitation to other men to participate in this and have these conversations in their own circles.
Yeah.
The timing couldn't be better.
100% agree. And it's a real honor to share the show with you, having had the very raw, powerful experience you've had in terms of seeing the worst side of masculinity, but then, strangely enough, behind bars, seeing some of the best side of masculinity coming through, and the redemption stories where masculinity in all its toxicity was transformed into masculinity in all its power and glory and goodness. And here you are to share these stories, and it's just a real privilege and an honor to share them with you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, the core principle of what we're saying here is, and I think it's very important to reiterate that, is that men and women are equal, but we're stunningly different.
Yes.
And the difference is beautiful. And we need to embrace and love and acknowledge.
And celebrate.
And celebrate that difference, because it's beautiful. I mean, I often say to people, you think about it, every one of us who's alive today is alive and around because of this beautiful dance between the masculine and the feminine. Our parents, man and woman, got together.
Precisely.
Had some fun, hopefully. And we are a result of that.
Yes.
And the world continues to operate beautifully, to the extent that this masculine-feminine dance continues in a beautiful fashion.
Yes.
So that concept of equal but stunningly different. And the second concept is that true masculinity is a beautiful gift to humanity.
Completely. Completely. And this, I mean, this is where I think that it becomes very important for us to kind of drill down and unpack some of the language that's out there around masculinity. Because in many circles today, to talk about masculinity is almost to talk about only the caricature, the worst examples of it, because these images have become so prevalent throughout society. They're ubiquitous.
Yes.
I mean, Bill Cosby in America has gone from being a celebrated role model.
Yes.
To actually being something demonic.
Right.
I mean, as a man, though I can't take on personally what he has done, particularly as an African-American man,
yes.
I feel wounded.
Right. He's let us all down.
The story. It's like I just felt disappointed that it's ended this way. And I take no joy in what has happened. I think it's very important that he was convicted.
Yes.
And that women's voices were heard and validated.
Right.
And in every single way acknowledged as being truthful. But it's just one of those kind of situations where, as particularly as an African American man, I just feel let down, Craig.
Right,
can't. I mean, I have no other way to say it.
And deeply disappointed.
Deeply disappointed.
Horrified, in fact.
And asking myself, what could have gone so terribly wrong?
Right. To get him to that point.
That he ends up at his age, over 70 years old or so, now everything that he's built his whole life kind of doing and we celebrated with him has come crumbling down.
That's crazy. And it's not an uncommon story. I mean, it's a very high-profile one, but men behaving badly throughout the globe, throughout South Africa. I mean, South Africa is one of the worst in the world when it comes to gender-based violence. And I think this whole series, we're talking about what drives masculinity? Why do we do the things we do? You know, last time we talked about at the core of every boy's heart is this desire for battle, adventure, and beauty. And how we so need for that to be harnessed and modeled and instructed. And I mean, you've got a beautiful model in your form. We'll talk about that now. But what happens as a result of these three desires is boys have questions on their heart. You know, every boy needs to know, has to know, wants to know that he's powerful.
Yes.
That he has the power, that he has what it takes to fight the battle, to live the adventure and to win the heart of the beauty. He needs to know. You take an average man and put him up in front of a group of people and say, if you could choose power or love, what would he say?
Power.
Power.
I mean, without a doubt, power.
Yeah, men have this desire. And power in and of itself is not good or bad. Power in and of itself is something to be used for good, but can also be used for bad. And I think this is the key. So, I mean, if we go into today, those three questions that are key to a boy's heart, and the first one is, who am I? And, you know, these are questions he brings to his father, not his mom, not his mom. Who am I? It's the question of identity.
Yes.
The second one is, do I matter? Does my life matter? The question of validity. And the third one is, do I have what it takes? The question of self-belief. And these are questions that every young boy brings to their father.
Completely. And if you think about it, the idea, the whole question of who am I? As a young boy, I remember very, very vividly that this question really was something that I had in my heart, but I didn't quite know how to articulate.
Right.
So much of it was a kind of seeking out in the ideal of who am I in ways that I didn't even understand what I was doing.
Right.
So this is where I think it's vitally important for the elders in the community, the men in a community, fathers, the presence of fathers. These questions can be answered when there's a man present in ways that are very natural and organic.
Right.
I mean, we come to an understanding of who we are as we live, as we express ourselves in our daily lives.
Right.
And so absent the presence of someone who gives evidence of what our identity is in a natural and organic way, then I can see where it's easily distorted.
Yeah.
And actually we come away quite confused.
We do, and we look for it in all sorts of places.
Yes.
I mean, your story is a beautiful one about your association and engagement and embracing of the Black Panther movement.
Yes.
I mean, there was a quest for who am I? Identity.
For identity. You know, I mean, it was absolutely a question of identity. I mean, I distinctly remember the civil rights movement and growing up in an environment where there was protests and all those kinds of things. And I remember when I went to to one of the first meetings for the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in our community, and there were young people, like not much older than me, teenagers, who were running the groups. They were running the meetings, and I specifically remember being asked by this young female organizer. She asked me, what are you doing to make a difference? What are you doing to change society in a way that's going to make your community and the lives of your people better? And, you know, I remember I gave an answer, but the answer I gave was so inadequate. I felt it was so inadequate within myself that I went back home and I started thinking about that. And it was the first time that anyone had actually ask me personally, who am I?
Right.
What difference do I want to make? What difference am I making? And the asking of that question triggered something in me that led to my joining the party. And for the first time in my kind of conscious youth, I actually felt that I belonged.
Part of something.
I was part of something that was bigger than me. Yeah.
I'm a Black Panther.
I now can define my identity based on something very concrete, very tangible, and very real and meaningful for me. Like, it gave meaning and purpose and direction for my life. Now, obviously, you know, there's a huge journey to make between that epiphany and what it looks like in my own personal journey. Right. But the thing that was clear to me is the question was asked, and I felt a desire to answer it in a way that was not just where I stood personally, but what was bigger than me.
And it spoke to a hole in your heart, didn't it? It spoke to a gap. You know, there's this cry for, you know, I remember growing up, we moved around a heck of a lot. I lived in 3 different countries, 5 different cities, went to 9 different schools. And by the time I got to university, there was a lot of, there was a real dearth of understanding of who I was as a, you know, and my dad was very hardworking guy, not present very much in terms of, you know, physically or emotionally. And I remember at university, I went to university, at Wits University in Joburg, and I used to hang out with this Italian guy, and I got to, you know, there was a whole group of Italian guys that we used to hang out with. And I remember thinking, man, I'd love to be Italian, you know, because they spoke this, you know, the colorful language, the gesticulations, the whole. But I realized, I mean, looking back, there was I didn't know who I was. I didn't know, who did I belong to? What was my role and place in life? And this is such an important question that young boys ask growing up. And the father needs to answer that. You know, we're living in a society that's very diverse now. And often culture's evolving, isn't it? And identities are evolving. But for a dad to be rooted, a man to be rooted and grounded in who am I, even if I'm evolving, even if I've said goodbye to certain aspects of my own culture and I'm embracing others and I've traveled abroad in my education, you know, but there's a sense of, I know who I am, I'm evolving into this person. And answering the question of his son, to say, son, this is who you are. You're part of this. This is part of your history, your roots, your legacy, where you come from, and this is who I am. And so that young boy grows up, I know who I am. You know, if you grow up knowing who you are, and a gang comes along and wants you to join, you don't have to do that because you know who you are. You don't have to become take on some other identity.
Yes, and this, just the whole journey of coming to terms with that question, letting that question settle with you, and being reflective about it, and introducing it sooner than later. For example, I think that we need to have more adult conversations like this with younger people, with children.
This is where you come from.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason that a child cannot feel deeply.
Yes.
In fact, we know that children do feel very deeply at very young ages. Yeah. We know that. So there's no reason they cannot think deeply.
Right.
And that their questions aren't really existential questions, like deep, meaningful questions. And so if we miss the opportunity to engage our children, and specifically men engaging their sons about fundamental questions of their existential journey, of their personal journey, then shame on us.
Absolutely. But, you know, doesn't it often come out of a confusion in our own lives about who we are?
Yes.
You know, again, it's that parallel journey as men when we raise kids. At first, you know, we can only impart what we have to impart. So I think a lot of men are finding a bit of confusion around, you know, who am I in the society?
We don't know.
What is my role in the society? What is the role of a man? You know, there's that confusion. So for us to go on a journey of discovering our own identity, I mean, there's that beautiful scene in the movie Gladiator, where the gladiator Russell Crowe had fought his way, remember, fought his way and done so well, and eventually ended up in the Roman arena, and the emperor was there, who thought he had been killed because he was the heir to the throne.
Yes.
Well, he should have been the throne. So the emperor had him and his family killed, but he survived and he fought his way, and he stands in this arena and he wins against all odds. He beats all the other gladiators, and he's standing there with his mask on. And the emperor comes down and he says to him, "Gladiator, who are you?" And he knows if he takes off that mask, the emperor will recognize him and probably kill him. So he turns his back on the emperor. And I don't know if you remember this scene.
I remember this scene
vividly.
Gives
me goosebumps, man. And he said, how dare you turn your back on your emperor? Turn around and tell me. So he turns around and he takes off his mask, man. And he stands in this arena with thousands of people around looking at the emperor, his enemy. And he says, I am Maximus Aurelius. He says, commander of the armies of the north. He said, father of a murdered son, husband of a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance in this age or the next. I mean, because this guy, Khalil, he stood in that arena and he knew exactly who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going to. And I mean, often us as men, we need to answer that question. Eh? If we had to stand in that arena, then what would we say?
What would be our response? And at a very deep spiritual level, we're being asked that question every day.
Yeah.
When we're confronted with an experience where we have to make the best choice under the circumstances, we're being asked, who are we?
Right.
Every choice we make is an exercise of our power and our definition of who we are. For me, I always say that all power starts with self-perception.
Right.
All power, wherever you go in the world, whoever you are, all power starts with self-perception. So if there's no awareness, no foundational understanding of who we are, particularly as men, as we're nurturing young boys into manhood, if we don't address that, and in a very concrete way for both us as men and our sons, then what happens is we leave them to their own devices, and too often we're seeing that the consequence is not something we're happy with, is not something that's doing our family good, our society good, or the boys themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this identity is just so powerful. The second question we talked about is this question of validity. And you know, this is the whole thing of, does my life matter? Is the world a better place because I'm here? And this, for us, needs to be answered so emphatically by a father. Son, you matter. Son, the world's a better place because you're in it.
Totally.
And so many of us grow up without that affirmation. You know, the father's absent. He's busy working. He's not around. He doesn't answer the question. And we're left to our own devices. We're running around trying to be significant, trying to think, do I even matter? You know.
And that question is inescapable.
Inescapable. Inescapable. We want our lives to be significant.
If you don't feel that you matter, then what is it that you will do? What kind of behavior comes from a person who feels they personally don't matter?
Right.
It can only end poorly. It can only end in disaster. I mean, there's no way that a human being, a young boy walking around who has no sense that he matters, is going to make choices that reflect his higher angels, that reflects the best use of his power.
Absolutely.
And that's why these kinds of discussions need to be a critical part of our journey as men in our relationships with young boys.
Yeah.
We need to really kind of do some remedial things in our interactions with young boys. We've got, and with other men. It's okay to say, as a man, I actually don't know if I matter.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Because the only way you're going to get to a place where you do begin to behave from a healthy place of how much you matter and being validated is if the conversation
Absolutely.
Is had and there's some experience that allows you to flourish in that way.
Absolutely. And that final question, you know, do I have what it takes? For a boy, am I powerful? Do I have what it takes? I remember I used to come home from work in Nysda, and my son used to burst out of the door when he heard my car coming out the driveway, burst out of the door and come running and just grab me, Dad, you know, wrestle. And I mean, he was constantly asking me, Dad, am I powerful? Am I powerful? Do I have what it takes? Am I the man? And for me, being there and able to wrestle with him by the grace of God and just, you know, inadvertently, I was on, son, you've got what it takes. You're powerful. You're strong. You're the man. You're the man. And he grew up believing he's the man.
Absolutely.
In the absence of that, you know, there's a sense of, you know, I don't know if I've got what it takes. And therefore, I'm going to behave in a bad way to try and prove that I do.
Yeah. You know, I feel so fortunate in my own journey. While I was in prison, I remember receiving a letter from my oldest son. And by this time, he was in high school. And he, it was just an interesting letter that he wrote saying, you know, Dad, if you were here, I wish you were here, because if you were here, I know that I would be so much more courageous. And I know that I would be so much more confident. He was, you know, doing the high jump. He broke the record for high jump in his senior year, outstanding athlete. And on the surface, you would have thought that, like, this kid's got it all. I mean, even in my absence, this kid's got it all. But that letter struck me so deeply that here's my son writing me in prison, and I know I'm not able physically to be there, but he's telling me in his own words, Dad, if I know I sent you to things that I've done, and I know I'm doing some good things, but I also know that if you were here, I would be so much more courageous.
Wow. The cry of a young boy for the father's presence and affirmation and validation. And I mean, Khalil, that's a good place to move on to, you know, what wounds the heart of men. You know, we need to be raised well by either our biological father and, of course, our mom, or other men who can step in. And in the case of your kids, you were very fortunate for having men step in. And then they were able to reach out to you, and you were able, even from behind bars,
yes,
glimpse of affirmation. But if you look at the things that wound men's hearts, and this is really goes to the foundation of what causes men to behave badly, which we'll cover in the next couple of podcasts. But the first and deepest wound is the father wound, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the father wound, because the boy brings these questions to his dad. The first person, he says, Dad, do I have what it takes? Who am I? Model to me masculinity. And if the dad's absent or not there, or someone else doesn't step in as an older man, you think about this question, and it's a question. Masculinity is imparted by a man to a boy.
Yes.
It's from man to man. It's not something a mom or a woman can do. You think about when a young boy goes to his mom and says, Mom, I want to climb that tall tree, you know? I mean, a mom's instinct is to say, oh, no, don't climb the tree. You're going to fall, you know, which is beautiful. And it's necessary, because she's protective and nurturing. But what the boy is asking is, do I have what it takes?
Yes.
And what the mom's saying is, no, you don't. You know, whereas if you ask the dad, and the dad says, hey, my boy, yeah, climb, I'll climb with you. Or if you fall, I'll catch you. You know, it's an affirmation of, you've got what it takes. Go for it. Be the adventurer. I'm behind you. And that's what your son was saying, wasn't he?
Completely.
Saying, Dad, you give me courage to be the man.
There's no doubt about it. And the whole experience of parenting and the importance of parenting can never be overstated.
Never.
I mean, I know that in my absence, my oldest son had a grandfather who was just an absolutely amazing man, an amazing elder. In fact, I always say that his grandfather was a better father for him than I had the maturity to be
at the time.
At the time, and that in some ways, like today, I'm my son's heroes. Both of my sons, I'm their absolute hero. But I also know that were I there at and lacking the maturity that was necessary to help them be their best, that the wound I created in my absence would in many instances be even worse. Because a man who is present but behaves poorly and gives examples of toxic masculinity does such damage.
Yes.
And this is where we as men, we've got to own that space.
100%.
There's no parceling it out to anyone else. There's no excuses needed. There's no excuses accepted. We've got to own that.
Yeah.
We have created wounds in our
Absolutely.
Young boys as men. And beyond the personal examples, men on the whole, toxic masculinity is creating a woundedness in young
right.
boys
right.
that, unless we own it, will only get worse.
Well, it becomes a cycle, doesn't it? I mean,
yes.
a wounded boy grows up to be a wounded man.
Yes.
Who becomes a man who wounds. And the cycle continues. And as we said in the first podcast, for us as men, we have the power to step in the gap and say, no more.
Completely.
To break that cycle. So this question of a young boy that brings to the father, we have to answer it. Men have to step up and answer it. And, you know, we go back to that parallel journey that so often I need to answer that question for myself as a man because it was not answered. I mean, psychologists talk about the whole concept of refathering yourself, reparenting yourself. And I think for us as men to be conscious, we need to actually refather ourselves. We need to say, where was that question not answered? Where am I still crying out for validation, for identity? And let me answer that question, or let me go to elders in the community, or mentors, or even, you know, or peers even. But let me answer that question for myself so that I can then answer this question for my son. Because in the absence of an answer, that son will grow up wounded. You know, John Eldridge in his book, Wild and Hard, he says every boy in his journey to become a man takes an arrow in the center of his heart in the place of his strength. And he said, because that wound is very rarely discussed and even more rarely healed, every man carries a wound.
Yes.
We're wounded to a greater or lesser degree. And it's up to us as men to look in the mirror and say, where is that wound? How can I have that healed so that I can stand and be whole and pass that on to the next generation?
I encountered it so much in prison that I cannot tell you the level of woundedness that was being acted out because this question wasn't answered for the men who found themselves at the bottom of life for having committed oftentimes just brutal offenses. Right. To be in prison and to talk with men who would tell you their father wasn't there, and then to ask them, well, do you have any children? And they say yes. They now are a father of five.
Wow. And they're not there themselves.
And they're not there themselves.
The cycle.
So the cycle is actually being entrenched in ways that we can't even imagine. So when you say we have to reparent, we've got to get to a place where we're reparenting. Look, if we don't, the consequences of not doing it are absolutely disastrous.
They are.
We're literally creating a generation of wounded young boys who
will wound themselves.
Will wound them. That's right.
Yeah.
And will wound others.
Yeah.
Particularly the ones the people who they say they love.
Exactly.
Those would be the ones who suffer the most.
Those are the most vulnerable. To
absolutely.
Them. Yeah, it's critical, Khalil. I mean, talking about what wounds a man, I think a boy growing up, there are probably two others. The primary one is the father wound. The primary, the father not being there to answer the question. Or, as you said, being there but not being there.
Yes.
Or being there but being there in a toxic fashion, modeling the wrong things. I mean, that role of a father in shaping the heart and wholeness of his son and daughter. And we're talking about men today. Daughters is another equally important. But you look at three other sources of wounding. The mom can also wound the son. Where a mom is overprotective, where, you know, the mom is cold, so the son's got to wear a jersey. The mom's hungry, the son's got to eat, you know. Where the son wants to do this. Mom, no, you can't do that. You know, mom tends to, we talked about the bicycle example. A mom tends to understand behavior that is feminine behavior. So often we have moms wanting to grow up feminine boys because that's how we should behave. Don't ride your bike into a brick wall. That's dreadful. Don't do that. Boys, you know. So the boy's never had having his masculinity validated. And that's the crucial role of a dad. So where mom is overprotective, and sometimes in extreme situations, you know, particularly in a divorce or separation, the mom is so wrapped up in the child that the child becomes her, in a way, surrogate husband.
Yes.
Not in a sexual fashion, but in an emotional fashion. All her emotional needs are met by the kids. So the son feels the burden of needing to carry his mom or input at least into her emotionally. And it's something that he shouldn't be carrying at that point in time. So the mom can play a crucial role in, you see, the mom's role is to affirm the masculinity that's been imparted by the father, to validate that, to nurture. I mean, boys love their moms. Their moms play an equally crucial role. I mean, how many times on the battlefield, the very last thing a dying soldier will say is, mom, you know?
Yes.
Because the mom provides that incredible, beautiful essence of nurture and love. But if there's only that and it's overprotective or needy in any way, it can harm the heart of the young boy growing up.
Well, it happens all the time. I mean, we see in schools, when I go into schools oftentimes, we see boys who come to school and they're incredibly angry. And I'm talking about this broad kind of ubiquitous reality of female-headed households.
Right.
Men just being absent.
Not there.
And women having to burden the responsibility of raising these boys in the absence of the boy's father, and their anger sometimes.
Right. At the absent father.
The resentment.
Which sometimes gets borne out against the mom, doesn't it?
No doubt about it. The boy is angry at his mother because his father isn't there.
Right, right.
So you see these boys who culturally they cannot act out against their mother in certain ways at a very early stage. What they'll do is they'll get on the school bus, on the bus or transport bringing them to school, and act horribly towards the little girl that's on the bus.
Right, right.
Or they'll come to school, and here's this boy who doesn't want to listen to any female teacher.
Yeah,
I mean, he's acting out
absolutely.
His resentment for the absence of his father.
Against women.
Against women.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know that he's doing it.
He doesn't.
So this is a very important element in this discussion for us to unpack and for us to continue to raise in concrete ways with our listeners, with the people who are going to engage man-to-man talks. We have to say to fathers, our absence is creating a wound that mothers will end up having to take responsibility for, and quite frankly, it's a catch-22 situation.
Right.
There's not much she really can do to change that dynamic at a certain point in a boy's life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I talk to a lot of single mothers, and this program, man-to-man talks, men making men. It's vitally important to see where men and women, as you say, are stunningly different. Different. And we have a role to play that, if used properly, validates the other, celebrates the best
Absolutely.
Of the other.
And creates a beautiful world.
Absolutely. That's really what we all want anyway.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
So I just feel that this conversation is one that is not just for listeners to kind of hear what we're saying, but more importantly, begin to unpack it in their own families,
Absolutely.
In their own homes.
Change the dynamic.
In their own lives.
Cycle.
Break the cycle in your own life.
Yeah.
Look at what you can do differently. Be reflective as a father. Be reflective as a mother. See how you may have wounded your child and what you need to do differently.
Absolutely. Khalil, as ever, the time flies, and this podcast already talking about the key questions on a boy's heart and the primary wound. Next podcast, I think we'll go into some of the other things that wound the heart of a man, and then we'll look at how men respond to the wound and why they behave the way they do. But fantastic spending this time with you, and I look very forward to the next one.
Thanks so much. It's just been great, Craig.
Awesome. In a country where 1 in 2 women are victims of abuse, it's important that we take the time to discuss a way forward, man to man. Carling Black Label is a proud sponsor of Man to Man Talks with myself, Craig Wilkinson, and Khalil Osiris. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18.
This is CliffCentral.com.